Hello and welcome back to another episode of Biff Pub Am. As always, I'm your host, Paul. And now we're a duo. So alongside me on this show is Tony.
But are we the real ones?
Yeah, you don't know. We just don't know. So as I said, we are down to a duo now. Josh has moved on. He might pop in at some point, but the Flash and Spider-Man were his last two shows. So, but he might be back later on at some point, depending on how his workload is.
Guest contributor role now.
Yeah. And he'll pop it. If it's a film that he really wants to talk about, it'll be on.
Yeah. So we've got two Craig.
Yeah. And the thing with Craig is he'd like to be able to do more, but he works shifts and you just don't know. And we always try and record on the same day when we can. Yeah. Yeah. Just because it's easier for us. And to be honest, we record on a Sunday evening and it takes us out of like the going back to work blues. So that's why we like to record on a Sunday evening. So that's partly the reason why we're doing things the way we are. I know normally we've done these Marvel Disney Plus shows one episode at a time. But when it's two of us, those episodes are only going to be about 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
Because there's no real back and forth on those. There's no real differing of opinions. We're either both going to like it or one of us will like it, one of us won't, or we both won't like it. There's not really it's not a double-sided coin.
There's no voice of reason in the middle.
So we felt, and we're what, four episodes in now, watching wise, we felt it would be better to do a halfway there, end there, kind of wrap up for this, especially with there only being six episodes as well. And honestly, at this point, we don't know what's going on because Hollywood is now in complete shutdown. We don't know when the next Marvel thing is going to come along. There might be something in the can, but then again, it might happen that they go, this isn't good enough. We need to do reshoots and can't. So we don't know what's just around the corner. Honestly, everything Marvel-wise is shut down. Deadpool 3 is shut down. There was another Marvel thing that had shut down as well. Fantastic Four, the casting has been shut down on that.
Yes.
So honestly, we don't know where we are. So there could be these two shows and then the rest of it's going to be us making stuff up after that because there's just not going to be anything to talk about.
Nothing until the Marvels.
No. And again, as I say, something might change with that. We honestly don't know. So this might be it for the year, Marvel-wise. So it could be back to doing some retro reviews over the next few months.
Although we have also got we've got the option to go sideways now because they just confirmed the Boy spin-off for September.
Yeah, exactly. So
we might take some alternative titles because I know there's an animated show that Josh was pimping. We wanted to watch.
Definitely.
Invincible, I think was it?
Yeah. There's that. We've still got DC stuff to talk about. Obviously, we've not talked about the Superman casting yet, and I'm sure that'll come up on a show at a later date. But for now, we have Secret Invasion, and that's it for what we definitely know. This is going to be the wrap-up of episodes 1 to 3 for this point, and then in a couple of weeks we'll wrap up 4 to 6 and a complete wrap-up on the show. Let's dive in. We're going to start with that first twist. That's the first note I've got. And honestly, it felt very signposted to me. Literally from the moment that started. Obviously, if you didn't know what Secret Invasion was, it would have been a big twist. But for those people that are Marvel fans, I felt like it was pretty much signposted what it was.
Well, from the minute they kind of had their drink in the pub, and you think, ooh, it's, he's not going to hit him off Maria, I don't think, here.
Yeah. It just, it really did, it felt like it was signposted very, very much. A lot of these notes are going to be from episode one, mainly because it pretty much sets everything up.
Yes.
The second two, while they have their moments, feels very much a continuation of what we learned in the first episode. We do get our first mention of Saber.
Yes.
Which is building up to the Marvels, obviously.
Which was, it was interesting, though, where... Because we've had the, because we had the, those two twists earlier on with sort of Martin Freeman and with Maria. It was interesting how that Skrull version of Freeman's character is kind of knew so much as he did, actually. I thought it was, he's got a lot of information already.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting because they have come out now and said that this is the first time we've met that version of Ross.
Yeah.
He definitely hasn't been a Skrull before this point.
Which suggests that he must have only been in existence maybe the breakout at some point from the back of the van, from somewhere there onwards.
Yeah. So that was interesting.
Maybe that was a Skrull that broke him out, perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah. Then my next thing, Ben Mendelsohn's accent. I'm not quite sure he knows what he's meant to be doing.
Well, it's mostly native. It's mostly his own.
Yeah, it is. But then occasionally it disappears. And it's kind of weird that his daughter doesn't have the same accent.
Mm.
I thought that was very strange.
Yeah, it also would have been weird to hear Amelia doing just an Australian accent.
Yeah. Yeah. Then I suppose we have to talk at this point, as we talked about at the front of the show, with Hollywood being on strike and AI being one of the big reasons as to why they're on strike. We have AI credits.
Yes, it's funny because the weird thing is, I think we're probably both the same initially. They were quite wowed by them. I thought, wow, that's some really interesting stuff. But then I was less impressed when I found out it was AI.
Yeah.
Because somebody's gone clickety clickety click with the computer. Now, if that was all done from a basic hand drawing first, that was some incredible stuff. But I kind of was less impressed once I found out that it was done with AI.
Yeah. And this obviously isn't the problem that Hollywood's got with AI at the moment. The big thing is with AI for Hollywood is that these studios are trying to
Make digital actors and not have to pay anybody.
Yeah, and basically can use them whenever they want.
Yeah.
And it's not, because this isn't the issue. It's not special effects teams that are on strike. It's actors and writers, and it's the actors' likeness that they're having the problems with. And I know a lot of people had problems with these credits full stop, because they were made by AI, that they were taking jobs away from other people. And I don't feel like that is. They've done it once.
Yeah.
To try something different. Which I don't have a problem with.
Very spooky.
Yeah.
I thought it was an issue. It was quite interesting. Like I said, I was just less impressed once I found out it was done with AI. So, I'd have been more impressed if that was taken like from an initial hand drawings, etc. And then...
And obviously, I agree with that it would be more impressive if someone had actually done that themselves.
Mm.
But I don't feel like it's a massive problem that they've tried something different.
Yeah, if it's a one-off.
I don't feel like it's taken away a job, because it seems like they made that decision quite early on that they wanted to try something different. That's where the big problem for people has come, is that they feel like it's taken someone's job away from them. And I probably get some hate for that, but I don't feel like that's a massive problem. For me, I find at least there is some art to it with this. It's this whole culture now of people using AI to create speeches and voiceover work and things like that really that takes a complete human image emotion away from it.
Similarly with the writing. I mean, there's that meme kind of thing that kicks around now and again, which is like that page of a Batman script.
Yeah.
And to me, that's what an AI script will be like. It's just complete nonsense when you read that Batman page that something knocked up.
Yeah, it's horrible. If I turn on a YouTube video and there's a voiceover that is clearly not a real person, then I turn it off.
Yeah, but they've read their speech out into a speech thing, haven't they, or whatever?
Yeah,
and typed it into like voice, whatever, one of those speech creation things. Yeah, and I've been watching a few videos and reviews of stuff, tech stuff lately, where they've done that. I mean,
yeah,
well, can you actually do that yourself? It sounds so monotonous. So
yeah, exactly. It's horrible. So there's going to be some bits throughout this that are good and some not so good, and I kind of, there's a couple of bits here that I noted down, one not so good for me and one that I thought was quite positive. The bad bit, I'm kind of annoyed at the lack of backstory between Fury and Talos, because obviously we've met them before, a long time ago, like 30 40 years ago, yet there seems to be a really close relationship that we aren't being let into.
Yeah, and we're also, because we know that they disappeared for 2 years.
Yeah.
They went off with Carol. But then they talk about coming back and then talking about this version of Fury that, because we never really saw Nick come back, did we?
No.
From the book.
The first time we saw him, he was up on the spaceship, wasn't he?
Yeah. So they've talked about, which would be in that period before that, of him having changes. And I kind of wanted to see some of that.
Yeah.
In those first three episodes.
Yeah. And they're really building up that they were this close pairing that kind of knew everything about each other.
Yeah.
We're not being let into that.
Mm.
It seems to be forgotten. And obviously episode three, well, both episodes two and three, we get some flashbacks again to de-aged Fury. But again, it doesn't really let you into this. It's kind of telling Fury's other relationship, which...
And the graphic stuff, basically. It's more the graphic story, isn't it?
Yeah, and we don't kind of see this strong bond between Talos and Fury, and it's infuriating.
Yeah.
Is what I would say. The good bit I wanted to bring up, I thought this is the first series that we've had on Disney Plus since Loki that actually looks like a Marvel film.
Mm. Yes.
The rest of them have kind of had that soft TV focus.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you expect. But this feels again like this could have been put into a film.
Yeah. And I also think using that typeface that they've used for the more spy movie elements of the MCU is helping as well. They used it in Black Widow, didn't they? And one or two other things, that typeface.
Mm.
I think possibly on the Avengers films as well.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Gives it more of a film feel.
And
also the locations as well feel a bit more like they were in the films as well. Like you said,
which is interesting considering most of it was filmed here.
Mm. Yeah, was it somewhere like Halifax they filmed that the bombing somewhere up there?
Yeah. I actually watched, interestingly, and I probably brought it up, I'm a bit of a basketball sports nerd. And it comes down to the same with like basketball shoes. And I watched a channel on YouTube and Samuel L. Jackson was on there and he was talking about the fact that he shipped like half of his collection because he was living here for 6 months. which makes it really interesting that it has got that look, that it was filmed somewhere separate to pretty much the rest of the shows.
Yeah.
Because most of them had all been filmed in Atlanta, including Loki. unlike season two has been filmed here because Hiddleston's a new father and he decided that he wanted to stay here this time. So it does feel like it's the first one that's been filmed away from Atlanta. And maybe that's helped.
I don't know. The photography and the locations do they feel more real, don't they?
And the next thing I wanted to bring up, we get a couple of early appearances by a couple of the bigger names. An early appearance from the Queen, or Olivia Colman, as most people know her. I said to you at the time when she first appeared, it was like, I can't stop seeing her as the Queen now. It's very strange, despite the fact that she only did two seasons. It's not like she was in it for the whole run.
Yeah.
She did 2 years, but she very much feels like the Queen now.
I still haven't really seen that. I need to watch her in that.
You definitely need to watch it, especially with certain castings within the Fantastic Four coming.
Well, what I loved about her appearances so far in this show, in this first show, to me, she's also auditioning for the next M, because she'd be like a perfect younger version of Judi Dench.
Yeah, she very much is, considering Judi Dench has played the Queen multiple times as well.
Yeah, you could see that character. She is like a proto M when M was a younger sort of star at the peak of her young career and sort of badass and will do anything.
Yeah, very much so. And I've got to be honest, I've never been a massive fan. I've not. Despite being a massive David Tennant fan, I've not seen Broadchurch. It's not really my thing. So Olivia Colman, and again, I didn't think her appearance in Doctor Who itself was particularly great. It's not memorable. It was a very quick cameo, which kind of ruled her out of ever doing anything more in the show, which was a bit of a shame.
She popped up towards the end, didn't she, of that?
Yeah. I think of her as
Doris from Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, very much so. She was more known as a comedic actress earlier on in her career, and she's kind of taken on the dramatic role since. But I really enjoy her in this. It's very different. Though I do feel like it could have been the Contessa in that role if they hadn't have kind of pushed her off to the Thunderbolts. It feels like that was what it was written as.
But it was because that would be the sort of thing that she'd be interested in stopping if she wasn't a Skrull herself, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess we'll wait and see whether there's going to be some sort of blowback. Because they've said that this show is going to have ripples, isn't it, into some of the other projects?
Yeah, and it is. It's definitely setting up the Marvels in a way, because obviously Nick Fury is going to be in both.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm guessing that's where it'll end, is Nick going back into space.
Yeah. And there's Armor Wars and the next Captain America.
Yeah. Definitely.
Paranoia is still going to be about, I suspect, towards after this.
Yeah. And obviously the Captain America stuff always ties into. And I think that was the big problem most people had with Falcon and the Winter Soldier, was that it didn't really tie into that story. Whereas this feels like it is, and will probably lead into the new Captain America. We've obviously got the current president in this series. He won't be president for much longer. Definitely. There's definitely ties to at least three future shows, possibly four if we take into account. Why can't I remember her name? Iron Girl. Why can't I remember her name?
yes.
From Black Panther.
Ironheart.
Yeah, Ironheart. I couldn't remember what the second bit was. Just completely gone out of my head. Who's also rumored to be in Armor Wars. So there's definitely ties to the future. That's if these go ahead. With the way things are at Disney and Marvel at the moment, we don't know what's going ahead and what isn't. And then obviously the early appearance of an Avenger, who's not quite as he seems. We'll talk more about that on the next episode, as there's only kind of some little hints to it in these first three episodes.
Yeah.
But it was nice. I was surprised at how early he appeared.
Mm.
I thought it was going to be a later reveal, not to see him in the first, 15, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
I was quite surprised by the appearance of Brody. So then another thing, touching on some of the actors, Emilia Clarke. I'm a fan. Yeah. I like her. I've liked her in whatever I've seen her in. Game of Thrones, I think, ended in a bad way. I didn't even mind her in Terminator. She was okay as Sarah Connor. Wasn't great.
Yeah.
But that's always going to be the problem because no one's going to stand up to Linda Hamilton. But, yeah, I don't mind. I feel she's really wasted in this show.
She hasn't had a lot to do yet, really.
And I felt like that with a lot of the people that have come out of Game of Thrones have kind of been wasted in superhero shows. Mm. Obviously, Kit Harington got his cameo in Eternals and now looks like he's disappearing into nowhere. Yeah, now it seems like he's not going to be in Blade. I'm not sure what they're doing with that character. Richard Madden, again, was a big part of Eternals, got killed off. Despite the fact that he, at one stage, his character led the Avengers, but they've killed him off.
I agree. She's not had a lot to do so far, but the door. But I wonder whether they're setting her up for some sort of future in the MCU as well.
Yeah, I would imagine so. There was rumors that her like image is based on another character within the MCU.
Mm.
I don't know. Obviously, we talk about surprises. The first episode had the two surprise deaths. Then the supposed death of Amelia's character, which wasn't. That for me is one of the sticking points. They seem to be using the same trope at the end of every episode.
Mm.
That we're going to surprisingly kill somebody off.
But they're not, yeah.
And they're not. And we've got to assume that Maria probably isn't dead. I don't know.
Otherwise, what was the point in that scene at the airport with the mum? That seemed a little bit too hard if she's not really dead.
But she's supposedly in the Marvels, which might be flashbacks. I just feel it's a little bit strange that they killed her off so soon, and she's still getting a credit in every episode, despite not being in them.
Yeah, well, they do that sometimes with shows, don't they? There is precedent for that show.
Yeah, but it's the fact that she's not even main cast. She's getting a special guest star credit on every episode, which I find very, very strange. But yeah, we shall see. We've only seen the first four episodes at this point. So
I suppose we should talk about the villain at this point.
Yeah, and that is another sticking point for me.
Yeah.
I don't think he's very good.
He's certainly not up there amongst the greats, is he? I think.
No, he's very wooden.
I recognise the actor from somewhere, and I don't. In fact, I've just seen, I watched a trailer. He's in a new Bob Marley film out in the new year.
Is he? He's someone that's got a bit of a reputation as an up and comer, I think.
I'm sure I've seen it. I'm going to have to check IMDb because I'm sure I've seen him in something. It's bugging me where I've seen him.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I don't know how to explain it. I think the part or the part that the character has in the show is pretty strong. But the character itself, I don't think he's written particularly well. He's very one-dimensional.
And he's a little bit cliched, isn't he, in terms of that what I call grumpy sort of terrorist
Yeah, and that's basically what it is. And it's not the first time we've seen this character. That's the problem as well.
Yeah.
Despite him being a Skrull,
yeah,
we saw this in Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Mm.
That the villain is basically a terrorist.
Yeah, with a massive chip on their shoulder, effectively.
Yeah, so. And unfortunately, this storyline, this Secret Invasion storyline, is a much bigger storyline in the comics than what we're getting here.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's unfortunate that the villain's kind of been shrunk down to what he is.
Mm. Yeah, it's very much a name-only Secret Invasion, isn't it?
Basically, yeah, it's definitely, it's not your comic book Secret Invasion, and that leaves me worried for what's to come with some of these future projects that have taken names from comic books. And I think this isn't the first time that's happened. As much as we love Civil War, it's not the Civil War of the comic books.
No.
And this is going down the same way, and I worry about Secret Wars.
Mm.
And I think the expectation might be a little bit too much.
Yes, I think everybody's sort of built up their own mind that we're going to see dozens and dozens and dozens of variants and stuff.
Yeah, and I think we're going to be, and I suppose we better touch on that there's been some blowback from Multiverse of Madness in the last couple of weeks, specifically from one cast member, who's currently or was currently pimping her new film, and that would be Hayley Atwell, who was very unapologetic about her thoughts on where Captain Carter ended up in Multiverse of Madness. Who she was interacting with on set as well, which was, by the sound of it, one person, and that was it. Lashana Lynch seemed to be the only person that was on set with her. Now, we knew Krasinski wasn't there because he was a last-minute addition. But the fact that we're now finding out possibly Anson Mount wasn't there.
Is that right? I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
Just edited them in somehow. So.
Yeah. Yeah, Krasinski was a very last-minute replacement for Boulder the Brave, which would have been Daniel Craig. But Daniel Craig... There's different reports as to why he wasn't there. We had the reports to start with that he wasn't there because he didn't want to travel with COVID restrictions. But now it seems like it might have possibly just been a scheduling issue with Glass Onion.
Yeah.
And apparently there was also, which I hadn't heard, there was apparently a stand-in for Magneto as well on set.
All right. So those weren't locked in, those characters, until they were at the script stage then?
No, and it started with Elizabeth Olsen saying that she'd never met John Krasinski. That they definitely weren't on set together. So it seems like they were all filmed in bits and pieces. And Hayley also said she never met Patrick Stewart either.
Wow.
So, and this is why I worry about Secret Wars.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah, for what we're saying about this show could be setting up a lot of things that won't necessarily play out as well as we'd like them to think.
Yeah, I mean, think we've been disappointed. I think the only big saving grace was Spider-Man.
Yeah,
that we did actually get the two other Spider-Men and weren't really kind of disappointed by it.
Yeah,
because it wasn't built up to be that type of film.
Mm.
Whereas Multiverse of Madness was.
From what I've heard about Armor Wars, to me, this show ought to feed into that. To me, I think one issue that needed to be addressed was that they could have used this in some way to sort of show that Sharon Carter was a Skrull.
Yeah, and I'm still not sure we won't see that in the back end of this, which makes sense because there was so much backlash towards that there's got to be some correction to it at some point.
Yeah, I think narratively it would be much more acceptable and make much more sense that Peggy's niece would actually turn out like that. I didn't buy it in that end of that.
No, we understand. We talked about it when we reviewed the show that things were cut out. We knew that. because they had to. They had no choice. Partly because they couldn't film anything, and partly because the storyline pretty much was dictating what was in the press and in the news at that point.
It won't happen, but see, I'd love to see her pop up in the credits scene at the end of this show.
Yeah,
saying like Farm Wars and that phone call or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And let's hope they do fix it. But yeah, as we were saying, this kind of does leave you worried as to what's to come. Being disappointed. Let's see. What else have I got? I thought the Skrull Camp, that was hard to say when you're on painkillers. Skrull Camp is really quite clever.
It's actually nicely done. You're using an old abandoned nuclear power plant.
Yeah, and I like the distinction between the people that are the soldiers and the ones that aren't.
Yeah. We all know it's for budgetary reasons, but it's still a nice way they do it.
Yeah, but even then, there's quite a lot of Skrulls wandering around. That opening scene when you're kind of going...
Well, I guess the background ones, you can. I know other shows have done this. You use kind of generic masks, don't they, for background ones and get away with it a bit more.
Yeah, and something I wanted to bring up, Tony Curry. We only get a quick glimpse of him in the camp. This is now the third character he's played in the MCU. And no one said anything.
Maybe he was Skrull and those other things.
That's maybe. Well, he was Thor's grandfather.
Yeah.
He was also in The Punisher. The Punisher blew the shit out of him. And then he's in this as well. So we've not seen him close up yet. I assume he will come back later on in the series, because there's no way you can have Tony Curry just do a tiny little cameo like that. although he is known as Vincent Van Gogh in this house, I can't see him as anything else these days. And I, talking of characters, going back to Ben Mendelsohn, he's so different in this to Krennic in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Very good actor. I can't say I've seen him in loads.
Well, he's also got a nice sort of extended cameo in Darkest Hour.
Yeah.
Because he plays King, the King.
Yeah.
Of course, in the part that Colin Firth made quite famous in The King's Speech. But so that was interesting to see his take on that part.
Yeah.
And he's really interested in that. And he's this really sort of nice, posh royal accent in it with that little slight stutter.
Yeah.
And then Krennic and Talos, completely different again. He's a guy I'd like to meet. He's a really interesting sort of actor.
Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting because, obviously, for anybody that doesn't know, I did Star Wars Celebration a few months ago now. But I also did the previous one here in the UK, and that was when Rogue One was being promoted heavily. And a lot of the displays were Rogue One stuff, and he was there, but I didn't get into the Rogue One panel. Unfortunately, it was the big film of that celebration, so you've got absolutely no hope. And it's even worse now of getting into those unless you spend the big dollars to get in. But yeah, there was a big presence for his character at that Star Wars celebration. Mm. So yeah, he's definitely one to watch still, I think. I don't think he's quite broken into the public psyche, I would say. He's certainly not an A-lister, that's for sure. But he definitely probably deserves more than what he's got.
He's the villain in Ready Player One as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I'd completely forgotten that, which I have seen. Yeah. Then the next thing, the fight scenes in this show do bode well for Daredevil.
Yeah. And we all know, it's all the bloody the hardcore fanboys. They just want to see Daredevil, their Matt, put my teeth back in, knock six colors of shit out of people. But I don't necessarily want to see that.
No, we've seen that.
We've seen it already.
Yeah. We want, for me, I want to see these street level characters kind of choreographing like he did with She-Hulk. I thought the fight scenes in She-Hulk were fine.
Yeah.
With him, I didn't think, and they even gave a nod to the original series with the corridor fight.
Mm.
And I think this series bodes pretty well for him.
Yeah. Because we've had this discussion before, and a lot of people go on about the ratings and the 12As and stuff. But I don't want to see anything particularly veering on 18 certificate or hard 15. Because we're going to get a hard 15 with Deadpool, but it'll probably be a soft 15.
Yeah.
It won't be top end 15.
No, definitely not.
It'll be the F bombs and stuff more than anything, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And we've seen the lighter, Matt, of the comic books.
Yeah.
Wouldn't go as light as possibly the cameo in She-Hulk was.
Mm.
I don't think that's necessary for his own show. I think you have to build more of a character.
And I think that's the point. It was to fit the tone of her show. That's why it's like that.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I really do think it bodes well. They seem to be leaning into that now.
And we've seen in this show that this show can do gory. That scene with the finger removal, I thought, was brutal.
Yeah.
And again, we're back to the Queen, and she was great in that scene. And that was a really brutal little sequence. Yeah. It was quite tough, eh?
Yeah, definitely. And there's a couple of other ones when Talos stabs him in the hand as well.
Mm.
Later on, but there's definitely some more graphic moments in this than you were possibly expecting there to be.
Yes, absolutely. Boys just wanting to wank over loads of blood and violence on screen.
And it's fair enough. I think you kind of have to go that way with the Punisher, because that's just what he is. There is no lighter side to the Punisher.
Mm.
No matter what he does, he's always going to be ultra violent. Even when he becomes an Avenger and becomes War Machine and things like that, he's still that uber violent character. Which is fine, but Matt isn't always like that. Matt's a lawyer by day. He's not always going to be, and he's blind for a start. You're going to always have to lighten the mood with that character, because they're just, something is wrong with him because of what's happened to him. And you have to make a lightness of it.
That's the thing with this show and those opening three episodes, is it's balanced the comedy and the darker stuff quite well in this one. I mean, most of the comedies come from Olivia Colman in a dark comedy, basically.
Yeah.
She's almost coming from a different project. There's a sort of slightly unhinged sort of, like I say, M prototype. She's wandered in from a dark Bond film, and she's just nailed it.
Yeah. And then kind of moving on to the end of that first episode, as I say, that is the bulk of the notes. I've got like half the amount on each other episode. In fact, the third episode, I've hardly got anything of note. I did find the Gaia reveal quite clever.
Mm.
Because I didn't feel like that was signposted. Despite the fact that we already knew, if you'd have gone into it not knowing that that was what was likely happening, I thought it was a very clever reveal, and especially the reveal about her mum as well.
Yeah,
that she didn't know.
Gotten too close to the truth, hadn't she? In some form, her mother. And Gravik's obviously issued her kill order on her.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that he lets that Skrull prosing as the PM, as an Indian Prime Minister, go in a later episode.
Yeah.
But then in that same episode, then I think he sort of has the guy killed that Coleman was all over.
Yeah.
So he's quite hypocritical in terms of that.
Yeah. Definitely. And kind of on that final scene, as we talked about earlier, the bombing scene. It's very strange. I can't compare it because it's not the same thing. But the episode, the end of the episode feels very surreal. The bombing, the aftermath of it. Yeah. And the only thing I can equate it to, for anybody that doesn't know, I live in Nottingham. And obviously, around a month ago, we had a really bad incident within the city centre, which I was not directly involved, but I was involved in the aftermath, not through any choice of my own. I just happened to be on my way to work and was about half an hour behind it, and literally got off the bus and they closed the road behind me because of what had happened. Not knowing anything at that point as to what had happened. But yeah. I can equate it to the same feeling. It's very strange, and this episode portrayed it fairly well. I can't really explain it. It kind of feels like a hush just goes over it. And that's what the episode felt like it did.
Everybody's watching.
Yeah, it just kind of goes down a few decibels, and everything kind of around the main characters kind of hushes. It was a very, I would say it was kind of moving, and it was really surprising when we thought Maria Hill was going to be the main cast member.
Yeah, and it's the
behind double, Sam, and then wasn't.
You're not quite sure what her words to him actually meant, is whether she actually fell for it or she was trying to point out that it was him in the film, that he looked like him.
Yeah.
But it still feels like a double sort of kick in the nards for us, that she sort of saw Nick and then it wasn't Nick. And then,
yeah. And it's just the aftermath. I just felt like they did a really good job of getting those feelings across.
And it's very interesting. It's a very different sort of end to, I think, it was episode 3 with the wife and the wedding ring.
Yeah.
Which is a very different sort of tonal ending for an episode that was.
Yeah, and that's the one that I feel like has stepped out, because episode 2 and 4, and we'll obviously talk about 4 a bit more, ended in exactly the same way as episode 1. Which is where I felt kind of, and as I say, we'll talk about 4 a bit more on the next one, but it kind of doesn't pull the rug from underneath you as much at the third attempt. And like, obviously the second one, it was like, they've not done it with another cast member, have they? One that we thought was going to be right up there in the main credits and now isn't going to be. But then, having watched it again, it's pretty, again, signposted that isn't what's going on, because they've already set it up earlier in the episode that's not going to be the case. But yeah, moving on to episode 2, I suppose, just to go back in, I was surprised that the episode started with flashbacks to Captain Marvel. At that point, up into episode 2, it didn't really feel like that was the time. You would have thought that would have come during the first episode.
Yeah.
And to open the episode with them as well, I thought was a little bit strange. Because it doesn't give you any more idea about what's going on within the episode. It's kind of just a reminder of, this is what happened in a film that came out half a decade ago. Yeah. Where so much time has passed, it did feel a little, and I know it ties into this show, but it did just feel like it didn't really add anything. And also, I wasn't expecting so much de-aging.
And I've got to be said that the Sam de-aging is actually really good, I think, considering it's a telly show. But then when we see what the budget's purported to be for this, you can see where some of it's gone.
Yeah, and this is kind of where Hollywood's got a problem at the moment, when they're spending this much on a TV show, no one's getting any. Yeah, yet no one's getting residuals from it.
Yeah.
So I can kind of understand why there's an annoyance within the Hollywood hierarchy at the moment.
guessing some of it must have gone on at the aging, because it's some of the best they've done.
Yeah, and when we consider that last month we were talking about how poor the de-aging was on a DC film.
Yeah.
To walk into a TV show.
Because we've seen a different couple of versions of Sam as well in this. A slightly different years apart, and they're very subtle sort of changes, but they both look really good.
Yeah. Anyway, we've got a couple of notes that we've already talked about. I'm just kind of the villain's one-dimensional, and I think it shows even more in this episode because we get to see him quite a bit more in this one. And also, again, touching on that friendship with Fury and Talos, there's definitely something gone on that we've not seen in this episode, because it definitely becomes a lot more frayed around the edges.
Yeah. Well, there is something behind those words about them saying to him, and Maria as well, that he was a changed man after he came back from the blip. And he's obviously said or done something in those years after he came back.
Yeah.
Before he fucked up to
There's definitely a lot of you're a different man throughout these second and third episodes.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting.
And I get the feeling he came back feeling somewhat smaller as a person.
Yeah.
When he sort of ripped out of existence for 5 years and he couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah. Definitely.
He probably must have started lashing out, taking out on other people, maybe.
Yeah, I get that feeling. And one for both me and you, we talked about her mom. Maria Hill's mum. For anybody that doesn't know, she's also Rebecca's mum in Ted Lasso, which I thought was kind of funny. Doing an American accent in this, despite being very, very English, which I thought was kind of, and the fact that it's such a small cameo as well, I was quite surprising. And then I said, I think the side characters are far more interesting in this than we've seen in a lot of the shows. The people that aren't main characters, some of the other Skrulls, I find really interesting. Like his right-hand man that seems to do everything.
There's more about him. He's got a bit more charisma about him, hasn't he, I think?
Yeah, and then the other guy that we met in the first episode that they were welcoming in, there's something with him as well.
And they throw him into a job early on as well, so he landed on his feet there.
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely something about those two characters that I want to see more of.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure we probably won't. I also want to see a bit more of Dermot Mulroney. Seems to have been really lacking in this as well.
Yeah, we've only really, in fact, it's not until episode 4 as well we've mentioned that you see much of the president in this.
Yeah, it's strange. They seem to have employed quite big name actors, certainly TV actors, that aren't being used to their maximum, which is a shame. And I want to point out that Rhodey seems to have become the Zonda Harris of the MCU. I'm bored of funny syphilis. That's what it feels like. He seems to have taken over from Clint. Clint seemed to have kind of rebuilt himself, kind of starting with Civil War. I felt his character became a bit stronger, and then slowly through those second two Avengers films, the two-parter at the end, and his own show, he seems to have moved away from being the idiot with a bow and arrow. And now Rhodey seems to be the idiot with a suit of armor that doesn't seem to get a particularly great storyline as a hero.
There might be reasons for that.
Yeah, and he does show his true colors quite early on in this by firing Nick. And really, we should have known at that point that there was something going on.
Yes.
Yeah. That isn't Rhodey.
Yeah.
Because Rhodey's always been the voice of reason. It wasn't Infinity War and Endgame.
Yeah, and then in this, he's become sort of very cold and calculated and matter of fact.
Pompous.
Yeah.
It's like Tony's gone. Oh, I can do whatever I want now. Which obviously isn't the case, as we learn kind of at the end of episode 3 and truly in episode 4 that isn't the case. But yeah, he shows his true colors very early on with Nick. And I at this point, I said I couldn't really grasp Olivia Colman's character because I don't know whether she's good or bad.
She's a bit of both. She's basically just looking after Britain's interests in all of this.
Yeah. Yeah, because at some point she seems like she's a really good friend to Nick.
Yeah.
And despite the fact that she argues whether she wants to help him or not, she really does want to help him. But in her own way, while keeping her interests safe away from him. And really, this is pretty much episode 2 covered. The last thing I wanted to see or talk about, sorry, was the interesting parts of the Super Scroll that we see on the screen.
The stuff on the computer, yeah.
Yeah, which comes into effect kind of in episode 4 because those superpowers are kind of used. The fact that he's part Groot worries me. And we do see that. He does use it.
He's part Groot, isn't he? He's part Frost.
Part Extremis.
Extremis, yeah. Frost.
Is that Frost Giant.
Frost Giant. Yeah.
That was really interesting that they picked those characters. I wonder whether it's because they're very visual.
Probably, yeah. And also in the comics, of course, they can take on the powers of all those heroes that we aren't seeing and stuff. So
in terms of
this, it was to have sort of defined sort of characteristics from other characters we've seen in the MCU and that are secondary characters, I guess.
Yeah. And then obviously we already talked about the shock at the end of this episode with his wife. Which was a surprise because we don't learn right until the last shot what it is to start with. And we knew Fury had a wife
because she's mentioned in Captain America, right?
Yeah. And I believe she's mentioned on his gravestone as well.
I think so, yeah.
So we knew he was married. So it was kind of like, when I was watching it, I thought the shock was going to be that she didn't know he was back.
Yes.
And the big thing was that it was kind of like they'd split because he disappeared.
Mm.
And he walks in and she's shocked by the fact that he's back. And then we get that final shot of her turning into a Skrull. Which was very interesting. And kind of ties into episode 3 because we see a bit more of her in episode 3 when we find that she has actually turned against Nick. In some ways, and in some ways, not really sure what she's turning on him for. And we get episode 4 is more of that. So moving on to episode 3, I was quite happy that we saw more of Talos and Gravik together.
Yeah,
because I think that's where the conflict is.
Yes,
Nick's kind of stuck in the middle of it. And has been caught up.
Civil War, isn't it? So.
Yeah. And I like that we got to see it a bit more. As I said, I've not got a lot to really talk about with episode 3, honestly, because it's more quite a lot of the same. But I did say I think Gaia's turn in this episode does set her up for a longer spell in the MCU.
Yeah, to have a sort of Super Skrull heroes, it sort of, as we find out in episode four, would be an interesting addition, I think, to the MCU to have her.
Yeah, definitely. And as I said, even if it's not as Gaia, if it's the character that she's kind of taken on, because there has been talk that she's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent of some kind. We don't know yet, but there seems to be something there. It seems strange that you would pick someone like Emilia Clarke to play.
Like the scene towards the climax where we finally see how they're doing the and they all are sort of there in pods in that hallway.
That's that was very interesting, and you've got to think that Rhodey and Ross are in there somewhere.
Yeah. Anybody who's been replaced, because you've got the Prime Minister who's in there. You've got the guy off the television show, haven't you?
Yeah. And who else? Who else is in there? We don't know. It could be anybody. Yeah. We just don't know. If the comic book, as we talked about earlier on, if the comic book is anything to go by, it could be anybody in there. You never know. We might get a surprise cameo at some point in these last two episodes. We haven't yet. But it will be very interesting. And as I say, the turn by Fury's wife is heartbreaking because she truly doesn't know what to do. She clearly loves him. She spent 20, 30 years with him. But when her own people are asking for help, it's a tough one. And it truly is heartbreaking in episode three because you just don't know what she's going to do.
Yeah.
And then the shock, I suppose, at the end. As I say, I didn't have a lot to talk about with episode three, just because it's that middle episode. We've seen it across the other shows, where it kind of is just building out the story we already know, and filling in those blanks. But at the end, with the phone call, from Rhodey. There was no hiding. That was him.
No.
I don't know how anybody could have gone into episode four and gone, oh, I still don't know who was on the phone. It was clearly Don Cheadle. They didn't disguise it or anything. It was the shock again.
Yeah.
That's become the trademark for this show, to have a shock right at the end. They haven't held off on the cliffhangers.
No, they haven't.
On this, that's for sure, and it continues into episode four as well. But there had to be someone throughout the show that was going to be a Skrull, that was someone we knew. When they killed Ross off in the first episode, it wasn't going to be him. That was the shock value in the first episode, was we've just killed off a character that you already know.
Yeah.
There had to be somebody else. And it had to be an Avenger, didn't it?
Yeah.
So they went with one of the lower ones. They weren't going to bring someone in that was one of the bigger names.
It's too obvious, wouldn't it, anyway?
Yeah. Yeah. And just the fact that they've killed most of them off as well. Obviously, they weren't going to bring Clint in, because they've set up a new story for him. It wasn't going to be Sam, because they've set up a new story for him. It wasn't going to be Hulk, because they've already set up a new story for him.
No.
And who's left? But War Machine.
Yeah.
Of the originals. And that was always going to be the shock value. It had to be someone from the earlier team. I know he wasn't one of the original six, but he's the closest you've got.
Yeah.
For someone that we've not seen other than in tiny little cameos.
Yeah. Those same sort of impact, really. Sure.
Yeah. And obviously he's got his own film coming now, as we've talked about. So they needed to set that up in a new way. And I think this is what it is. It's to set Rhodey on his new path.
Yeah.
And finally give him something to do, hopefully. So, And that pretty much wraps up those first three episodes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think. Yeah. So obviously at this point we've seen the first four episodes. So we're only a couple of weeks out. About a week and a half out from the end of the series.
Yes.
Which seems ridiculous because I feel like we waited for ages. Ant-Man seems like a lifetime ago.
Mm.
And Disney Plus, this is the first one of the year.
Yeah.
Which, when you consider how populated the last, it's 4 years now, isn't it? Since Disney Plus started. So Loki would have been 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
Because that was late in 2020.
That was two years, I think, Loki.
Two and a half.
Yeah. 3 years, 3.5 since WandaVision.
Yeah. Yes, because of course WandaVision was one of the first ones. Yeah. So it's ridiculous. And now obviously everything is slowing down. God knows what we're getting and when. There's rumors of shows not being good enough and possibly being scrapped. I don't see that happening because that's not the Disney way. I think we'll get it at some point in some form. But again, when that will be, everything, as we talked about at the top of the show, is now on hiatus. Probably until at least October, from what I can work out. We've already seen the writer's strike is heading towards 3 months already.
Yeah.
I don't know when that'll be fixed. I don't know when the actor's strikes will be fixed. Could be October at the earliest by the sound of it. It could be next year.
Yeah, it's already kicking in, isn't it? I mean,
Yep.
Deadpool's probably almost bloody finished and they've had to stop production, haven't they?
Yeah, and that hasn't been the easiest thing because for anybody that doesn't know, Ryan Reynolds is credited as a writer, so couldn't ad-lib on anything. As I thought to start with was that they'd do the serious stuff first. Doesn't seem to be that way because Hugh wasn't there to start with to do his Wolverine stuff.
No.
He was later on. He only just finished on Broadway 6 to 8 weeks ago. So he came in later on. So don't know what the situation with that is. As I said, Fantastic Four, the casting, which seemed to be up in the air anyway. They seem to have found their two leads. And then with the money situation at Disney, the two leads that they had seemed to go by the wayside because they weren't going to pay them. Then, as we alluded to earlier, it seems like Vanessa Kirby has been cast as Invisible Woman, as Sue Storm.
Yeah.
But whether that's gone ahead, I don't know. She's been out doing press for Mission Impossible. Then we heard rumors that they got Matt Smith as their replacement for Reed. But then that seemed to change and became Ryan Gosling. We don't know truly. And now that's shut down. So that could all change again because the people they want might not be available once this ends. So that might all change. DC obviously tied down their cast very, very shortly before everybody went into strike mode. And I'm sure we'll talk about that over the coming month or so. But yeah, it's just a really weird time for cinema in general, TV in general. And God knows what's to come over the coming months. And with Disney as they're in the situation they are, which we talked about this, streaming and cinema is a very strange place at the moment. Yeah. Disney, before lockdown and even during lockdown, were probably one of the top five companies in the world. Unfortunately, now they're not. So Marvel, Lucasfilm, Pixar, and Disney itself is in a very, very strange situation. One that, as a massive Disney fan, as most people know, is it's a tough one to equate, because they've got something else to fall back on.
Yeah.
A lot of the streaming companies do. Apple, obviously, TV's not their main thing and never will be. Amazon, likewise. Disney have got their theme parks to fall back on. It's not the biggest thing. It's not gonna let them survive in the way they have been. It's certainly keeping them ticking. But they were a film studio first and foremost. The big one that's the worry, if streaming is dying the way people seem to think it is Netflix.
Yeah.
Because they've got nothing else to fall back on.
No.
And they've been hemorrhaging money for probably a decade.
Big time, so I reckon.
And things are going to change. Maybe streaming does go away in the way it is at the moment. We're already seeing some of the studios, Disney, pulling stuff. Miss Marvel is going to be on ABC. They claim it's promotion for the Marvels. I'm not sure about that. I think it's a way to get people to watch it.
Yeah. Because the lowest watched show, I think, or something.
Yeah. Moment. Which isn't a surprise, because it's got a very tight demographic.
Yeah.
One that doesn't really include us. Despite it being a comic book property, it's aimed at teenagers and 20-year-olds, not 40 and 50-year-olds. So it's a very strange situation, and hopefully these studios figure it out. Warner Brothers aren't much different. They've started pulling stuff from Max. I see that the Zack Snyder Justice League has been pulled from HBO Max European in the last 24 hours. And we'll probably follow in the States as well. Obviously, we don't have HBO Max or Max here in the UK. They never even got that far before they decided it wasn't working. So they're pulling stuff as well. It's just a really strange situation. I don't remember. I was in LA the last time there was a writer's strike, and it didn't last this long. And then to drop a actor strike on top of it, I honestly just don't know where it's going. Hollywood is a very strange place at the moment. Yeah. So that's just me saying that we don't know what content there's going to be over the next few months, honestly, because there's not going to be any news.
No.
To talk about. We've obviously got the last three episodes of this. And then there's Blue Beetle, if that goes ahead.
Yeah.
Sure whether we'll bother going and seeing that at the cinema.
Well, I might go and see it. It's on at a decent time.
Yeah.
But the start time is usually the big factor for me.
It's not one that I'm going to go out of my way if I've got a spare few hours on a weekend with nothing else that needs doing. I might go and see it. Otherwise, I'll wait the 6 weeks before it appears on streaming.
Yeah.
I'm sure. And then the Marvels isn't until the end of the year after it was pushed back. Again, we don't know whether that's going to be the case. It might end up being pushed back to next year as no one's able to do press. And that's quite a long way out. I don't expect the studios have even thought about doing press for that yet. I know a lot of people have picked up that Disney are doing press for Haunted Mansion, which is out in a couple of weeks. That press was all done weeks ago. So for anybody, I did see the question come up in my group chat for one of the other shows as to why they were doing press. they weren't. They did that weeks ago at Disneyland. For a start, Jamie Lee Curtis was one of the first to come out and say she supported the strike. So there's no way she would be breaking the picket line to do press for Disney, that's for sure. So God knows what's going to happen with Blue Beetle in terms of that. And again, it may get pushed back. I don't think they hold high hopes for it. Having seen The Flash be one of Warner Brothers' biggest box office flops ever, and is now being removed already from cinemas. I'm not sure Blue Beetle will survive. It may get pulled from a cinema release, full stop. Which is a shame, because I like the guy in the lead. I'm a Cobra Kai fan, so it'd be a shame. Seems to be the way of people that I like. They get a lead role in a superhero film and it flops massively, and then costs them. So it'll be interesting. That's for sure. But I suppose we better wrap up there. There's not much else to say. We'll be back with episodes 4 to 6, and then find our way from there. But hopefully you'll stick with us. There, as I say, there'll probably be some retro reviews. We still got to finish Blade. I think we only ever did the first one, so we can do that.
First two, wasn't it?
Yeah, it might have been we did do the first two. We didn't do the last one. I just stupidly watched every single X-Men film halfway through New Mutants, so maybe we can talk about some of them as well. I know you watched New Mutants the other night as well. So maybe that might be worth a chat about that before we move into the new world of mutants within the MCU. But we'll find something comic book related to talk about, even if we have to read a comic book. I know that sounds really harsh, that we have to read, not just sit there in front of a TV. But maybe we'll do some of that as well, just to keep us going. But Tony, thank you very much.
No worries.
Remember, you can find us on social media at BPB Podcast Productions on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We don't post much, but we are there for people who want to talk to us about the shows or if they've got any thoughts on anything we've been talking about. So on that note, we do support the strikes. Obviously, there's massive reasons why they're doing it. And hopefully it'll be sorted in quick time and all this guff that I've just talked about for the last 10 minutes won't be viable. But we will be around still, and hopefully you'll stick with us. So thank you very much, and we will see you on the next one for our thoughts on the last 3 episodes of Secret Invasion.